This is Dr. Benny Tate, and you're listening to the Leads Club podcast, all about leadership, personal growth, and encouraging you in your walk with God. Our goal is simple, to help you lead like you never have before in your church, business, home, or whatever platform God has given you. Our next Lead Club session begins now. Greetings and welcome to this month's edition of our Leads Club. God placed on my heart several months ago starting a club called Leads. That little word Leads stands for loving, evangelism, assimilating, discipling, and serving. It's simply a club that is for pastors, church leaders, to help pastors and church leaders get to the next level. And what I want to do is just to take a lesson periodically and share with pastors and leaders that hopefully will be beneficial in their calling. And what I'd like to talk to you about this month, I'd like to talk to you about criticism goes with the calling. Criticism goes with the calling. The scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Notice it says, if it be possible. And then verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20 says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And verse 21 says, and be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I recently read that 40% of pastors have a serious conflict with at least one parishioner once every month. Truly, criticism goes with the calling. And pastors and church leaders, what I've learned is this. If we're going to call the shots, that means we must also take the shots. If we're going to call the shots, we must also take the shots. I heard a story one time of a politician that was speaking, and while he was speaking, a heckler yelled out and said, I wouldn't vote for you if you were St. Peter. And the politician shouted back and said, if I was St. Peter, you wouldn't be in my district. Well, certainly when we talk about churches, we have all different types of people in our churches. And certainly criticism is going to go with it. One of my heroes in the faith, Tommy Barnett, said, if you're used of God, you're going to be used of people. If you're used of God, you'll be used of people. Now, here's what I want you to understand. In 26 years of being the pastor of Rock Springs Church, a congregation that has grown from 30 people to over 6,000 members. Last week, we had 3,500 in attendance at Rock Springs Church. But when you look at that growth, pastors, I want you to know something. I still, every week of my life, experience criticism. You say, you've got to be kidding. Surely the people have said, no, no. We're bought in and we agree with our pastor. No, no. From 30 to thousands, still criticism goes with the job. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He told his pastoral students that the minister ought to have one blind eye and one deaf ear. He said, you cannot stop people's tongues, and therefore the best thing to do is to stop your own ears and never mind what is spoken. Well, that's a good statement. Sometimes it's difficult to do. Well, how do we handle the criticism that goes with the ministry? I want to give you 7 or 8 things that I trust will be helpful to you as you battle this issue called criticism and the calling. The first thing I'd say to you that's so important is to understand the difference between constructive and destructive criticism. Understand there's a difference between constructive and destructive criticism. Somebody said constructive is when I criticize you, and destructive is when you criticize me. I don't know about that, but Mark Twain said this. He said most people had rather be ruined by praise as saved by criticism. They'd rather be ruined by praise as saved by criticism. And pastors and church leaders, what I pray that you grasp hold of is there's an element of criticism that can be constructive. There's an element of criticism that we can use in an advantageous way. Years ago, every time I faced a criticism, I quoted the scripture, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." And it was almost if somebody disagreed with me in any capacity, they were of the devil, and they were fighting the work of the Lord. But as I've grown a little older, I've come to realize that criticism can be constructive in my life. You say, well, how do you know if it's constructive or destructive? Well, I'd say look at a couple of things. Number one, I'd say, in what spirit was the criticism given? In what spirit was the criticism given? The Bible says that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And when I think about criticism, was it given with a loving spirit? If it was given with a loving spirit, it's probably a greater chance that it could be constructive in your life. The second thing I'd say, where was it given? Where was it given? Was it given publicly, or was it given privately? I would encourage you to always praise people publicly. And I would always say, if you're a leader, criticize privately. And if we have a criticism, we need to do that in a private fashion. I remember I'd been the pastor at Rock Springs Church for not a long time, and a precious lady in our church asked to talk with me. And she said, "Pastor Benny, I want to talk to you about something." She said, "I notice when you preach, you constantly repeat." And I said to her, "No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't." Just kidding. When she said that, I started thinking about perhaps she's right. And I went back and I took some cassette tapes of my sermons, and I started listening to those sermons. And I did notice that there was too much repetition. And I truly believe, all these years later, I am a better communicator because of the constructive criticism that came from that woman. And pastors, what I'd say to you, understand that criticism can be destructive. It's not always of the devil. It's not always that somebody's out to get you. Many times we can learn from it. The second step I'd say to you about handling criticism is this. Don't take yourself too serious. Don't take yourself too serious. I remember on one occasion, I was in Washington, D.C., and I was talking to the Speaker of the House at that time. And I'll never forget what the Speaker of the House said to me in Washington, D.C. We was talking about the office of the Speaker of the House, which is the third most powerful position in our nation, right under the Vice President. And we was talking about that position, and that particular speaker said to me, he said, "I want you to know something, Pastor. I'm just an ordinary guy with a big job. I'm just an ordinary guy with a big job. And what I would say concerning criticism is learn to not take yourself too serious. You have a big job. Paul said, I magnify mine office. It's the office that ought to be elevated and not you yourself. So I'd say just learn to not take yourself too serious. If you mess up, it's okay to laugh at yourself. Probably other people are also. I've learned if I'm up speaking and I just stick my foot in my mouth, which I've done on many, many, many occasions, and you will too if you communicate much. I've learned if you mess up, just stop and laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself too serious. It will be instrumental in helping you handle criticism. There's a third step to handling criticism. Look beyond the criticism and see the critic. Look beyond the criticism and see the critic. And what I mean by that, does this person have a history? Does this person have a habit of being critical? Because there's some people, they're just critical by nature. I remember receiving a phone call from a radio listener on one occasion, and that radio listener began to criticize me pretty strongly. And after I listened to the criticism, I finally said, "Thank you, but before I let you go, can I ask you something?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you contact and call a lot of ministers on the radio and criticize their message?" And he paused for a moment and said, "Well, yes, I do." And Pastor, what I'd say to you, look beyond the criticism and see the critic. I've learned that people that are busy rowing seldom have time to rock the boat. And what I've learned many times, there's something in the critic's life. The issue may not even be you. I remember having an employee one time. And the employee, I could tell there just wasn't a good relationship. And I finally said to that employee, "What have I ever done to you? What have I ever done to you?" And I'll never forget that employee said to me, "Nothing, but you remind me of my father, in which I have a terrible relationship with. You remind me of my father, in which I have a terrible relationship with." And see, I realized the issue wasn't me. The issue was him. Look beyond the criticism and see the critic. Step number four, don't just see the critic. See if there is a crowd. Don't just see the critic. See if there is a crowd. One man preached a message one time, and a guy walked up to him and said, "That's a boring message." And about that time, another man spoke up and said, "Oh, Pastor, pay no attention to him. He only repeats what he hears everybody else say." You know, if one person calls you a donkey, don't worry about it. But you know, if five people call you a donkey, you might want to get a saddle. And what my advice is, don't just see the critic. See if there's a crowd. Step number five to overcoming criticism, realize good people get criticized. Realize, pastor, lay leader, good people get criticized. I assure you, it goes with the calling. You know, sometimes we'll speak of somebody and we'll make this statement. Everybody speaks well of him or her. But you know, the Bible actually says, Woe be unto the one that everyone speaketh well of. I mean, really? Jesus was called a glutton. He was called a wine bibber. He was called a friend of sinners. Criticisms were made toward the Lord. They said on one occasion, he's mad. He's mentally challenged. Realize that good people get criticized. Many times in our area, when we have a person that's elected to a new political position, it may be state representative, it may be United States senator, but many times I'll send them a framed picture. And it's a framed picture of Abraham Lincoln. And with this framed picture of Abraham Lincoln that I've been sending to leaders for years, it has the words of Abraham Lincoln below his picture. And this is what he said. He said, if I tried to read, much less to answer all the criticisms made of me and all the attacks leveled against me, this office would have to be closed for all other business. I do the best I know how, the very best I can. I mean to keep on doing this down to the very end. That's the good advice that President Lincoln gave us. And that is to realize good people get criticized. Number six, how do you handle criticism? Realize that you must concentrate on your mission and change your mistakes. Concentrate on your mission and change your mistakes. So many people, when they get criticized, they concentrate on their mistakes and they change their mission. Reminds me of the story of the grandfather and the grandson that were going to town with the donkey. And as they were going into town with the donkey, the child was riding the donkey. And the people watching said, look at that selfish child making that grandfather walk. So the child gets off and the grandfather rides. And the people say, look at that grandfather. How rude and unthoughtful of him to make the child walk. So they both get on the donkey. And the people say, how cruel for that grandfather and his grandson to load that poor donkey down. The story says by the time they got to town, the grandfather and the grandson were carrying the donkey. What I would say to you is concentrate on your mission and change your mistakes. You're going to make some mistakes. He who never made a mistake never made anything. You're going to fall down sometime. You're going to mess up as a church leader. But I would say to you, stay focused on what God has called you to do and learn from your mistakes. The seventh thing I'd say to you about criticism is this. Don't respond to criticism. Don't respond to criticism. You remember when Nehemiah was so criticized? Nehemiah said this. He said, I'm doing a great work for God, and I can't come down. Sanballat, Tobiah, they said, come down, let's discuss it. He said, no, I'm not going to respond to the criticism. I'm going to stay focused on what I'm doing. Steve Harvey said, my father told me never to take my foot off a ladder to kick at someone who was kicking at me. When I did that, I would no longer be climbing. I have a pastor friend who said that on one occasion he received a critical letter. And he said, I sat down to respond to the critical letter. And he said, I thought about how I was going to respond, and I couldn't think, and I wrote, and then I tore the page up. And he said, about an hour passed, and I really still didn't have a response to the critic. And he said, then the thought hit my mind. My mother brought me into this world. My mother has stood beside me and supported me. I've never given an hour to sitting down and writing my mother a letter and letting her know how much she meant to me. And here I am taking hours to try to respond to a critic. What I would say to you, let God validate you. That's what Psalms 37, verses 5 and 6 teach anyway. Let God validate you. Stay focused on the work. Give the critic a smile. Keep on doing what you need to be doing. You never gain ground when you start throwing mud. Don't respond to your criticism. And number 8, I'd say, church leader, make sure you have safe people in your life. You need some people that know virtually everything about you, but they just love you unconditionally. I love what George Washington said. He said, be courteous to all, but intimate with few, and let those few be well trained before you give them confidence. I remember a gentleman years ago, a few years back, came and he was going to run for Congress. And he said, I want to talk to you about it, Pastor. And he said, I want to get some advice. And I said, I give you this rule of advice. This running for Congress is going to get nasty. I want to encourage you to get some safe people around you. Get some people that are loyal to you, that know the good and the bad about you, but love you anyhow. Because you're going to need those people to unload and share your heart with along this process. That man got up out of my office. He got in his automobile. And he said to himself, I can't believe I drove for that advice. I can't believe. I thought I would receive some more profound advice from my pastor. But you know what's amazing? That man ran for Congress, and about a year and a half later, he came back and told me, he said, of all the advice that was given to me, that's the most helpful and impacting advice that was given to me in my run for Congress. Pastor, you need some safe people around you. That's not going to be a large group, but it's a group that you can just be real. It's a group that you can just share your hurt. It's a group that you can just unload on when the criticism is coming. So make sure you've got a safe group. Make sure you've got some friends. You say, well, Brother Benny, I don't have a friend. Well, you need to rent a friend. You need to get some people around you that can help you, that what I call them are just safe people. The ninth step to help battling criticism is this. Don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. I read about a lady up in Atlanta, Georgia, who was 94 years old. She was an old maid, actually, when she died. And she left some unique funeral instructions. She said, I don't want any male pallbearers. I don't want any male pallbearers at my funeral. And began to listen to why she had stated she didn't want male pallbearers. And it was interesting. This is what she said. They wouldn't take me out while I was alive, and I don't want them carrying me out while I'm dead. Well, this precious lady, Hazel Von Jecke, apparently carried bitterness even to her grave. But what I'd say to you, Pastor, don't get bitter. I know what it is to get bitter. I know what it is to be hurt. And I know what it is to carry that bitterness in your heart. But I can say to you, it will destroy you. You won't be free to do what God wants you to do. You know, it's amazing. Job's friends, when Job was going through a tough time, they came to him and basically said some things and said, Job, there must be sin, and this is happening for this reason. You're not right with God. That must have been devastating. But you know, at the end, in Job 42 and 10, the scripture says that Job received double what he had before. And it's so amazing. The scripture says the Lord turned the captivity on Job when he prayed for his friends. When he reached the point in his heart that he could pray for those guys that had said those hurtful things about him, that's when God doubled his possessions. That's when God really blessed him. Pastor, that's when God's really going to bless you. It's when you realize that being bitter does more damage to the container in which it's stored than the object on which it's poured. I remember reading a while back about Dr. Charles Stanley. Dr. Charles Stanley went through great opposition in the early days of First Baptist Atlanta. Critical things were said about him. Even one of the deacons literally took his fist and hit Charles Stanley. And Charles Stanley said he was praying, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Charles, see everything that's happening to you as if it's coming from me. See everything that's happening to you as if it's coming from me." Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps sometimes God allows criticism to come our way so we'll turn to God, so we'll come to God, so we'll find Him as our only consolation. Well, as we wrap this up, I want you to know criticism truly does go with the calling. And remember, if you're going to be used of God, you will be used of people. But there's no greater privilege than to know that God is using your life for the good and glory of Him. You know, many times I've gone to a church conference and I end all these Leeds Club tapings with trying to give you a couple ideas. You know, I've gone to a lot of conferences, and if I can get a good idea from a conference, that made it a good conference. Pastor, let me give you a couple good ideas, church leader, today as we wrap up. Number one, something I've been doing for 26 years that I would encourage you to do. Make sure on your parishioners' birthdays and anniversaries, you take time to call them and wish them a happy birthday and a happy anniversary. And also, a few days before, put them a card in the mail and wish them a happy birthday and a happy anniversary. This is something I've been doing for 26 years. Certainly in the early days, it started out very small. Today, I wrote birthday cards. It took me 1 hour just to write the birthday cards. But I want to encourage you to take time every week to send birthday cards, and take time every day to call your people and wish them a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. You'll be amazed at what an impact it will have in your parishioner's life. Many times when I'm making the calls, I'm in my vehicle, I'm going to a hospital, I'm on the road, and I'll take my cell phone and I'll make the calls while I'm traveling. I don't do it from the office. I always do it on the road. Take time to make those calls. If you have a secretary, you fill out the card, put a sticky on the envelope, let her mail them. You say, "Well, Brother Benny, you're fortunate. You've got a secretary." I didn't always have a secretary. I started out with about 25 or 30 people and no resources. So I know what it is to be small, and I know what it is to be larger. But it transcends any of that. It impacts your people when their pastor calls them or sends them a card and just says, "Happy birthday, happy anniversary, love, Pastor." The second thing I'd say to you as far as an ideal is something we did about 2 to 3 weeks ago. We had a law Enforcement Appreciation Service. And what we simply did, about 4 to 6 weeks before, we went to all the law enforcement agencies, whether it be city police, county, the state troopers, and we let them know on a certain date we were going to be honoring all law enforcement personnel. It's a time right now that they're devalued. So we brought them here to Rock Springs Church. We honored them. We gave them a small gift. We let them know how much they were appreciated. I preached a message that was tailored for them. What was amazing, folks, we had probably 225 to 250 law enforcement personnel that were in the service that were honored at this time. And you know what's so amazing? We attracted the media. The local news television came out and covered the service. And what thrilled my heart was about 15 people in that service prayed to accept Christ. And all we did is what the scripture said, give honor to whom honor is due. And we tailored the entire service toward honoring law enforcement personnel. It was a great service. Now, on whatever scale, it's something you can do in your church, and it will lift your people, and it will certainly lift the law enforcement personnel in your area. As we close today, let me remind you that June the 7th through the 9th is the Congregational Methodist General Conference at Lakeshore Church in Byram, Mississippi. I not only want you to come, but I want you, Pastor, to bring as many of your people as possible to General Conference. We've got two of America's top speakers will be there. Pastor Jim Cimbala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, the great author, the great pastor, will be with us, along with Robert Jeffries. He's the pastor of First Baptist Dallas, Texas, and also a Fox News contributor. You see him many, many times on Fox News. So you're in for a treat. Two great men of God, June the 7th through the 9th, Pastor Jim Cimbala, Pastor Robert Jeffries. I'll be speaking one night. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous general conference. I thank you so much for being a part of the Leeds Club this month. And my heart and desire is that this club is an edification to your life, your family, and your ministry. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for today's Leeds Club session. We hope you feel encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information or resources about leadership, be sure and check out our website at rocksprings.online.com/leadership. Join us next time for more insights on leadership, personal growth, and encouragement. As you walk with God, we want to help you get to the next level.